Welcome to another episode of GEQ Speaks, your go-to platform for insightful conversations, captivating stories, and thought-provoking discussions. GEQ is a series of experiences, and we're just making sense of that as we go along. That is what we're doing here, one conversation at a time. So sit back, relax, and let's dive into our episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of GEQ Speaks Podcast Club. I am your host, Reina Dukhan.
And I'm your co-host, Shahdil Saeed.
And today, we have a very special guest joining us. Many of you have probably had the pleasure of taking one of her courses. And if not, let me tell you, you're definitely missing out.
Yeah, that's right. And in today's episode, we're going to discuss the fascinating topic of creative writing elements in academic writing. This is something close to the hearts of many of us, especially those of us who have struggled to find our academic voice.
Absolutely. And I remember when I first started at Georgetown, I faced criticism that my writing style was not academic enough. It was a real struggle until I found a way to merge my creative voice with the demands of academic writing. And our guest today has played a central role in this journey for me.
Definitely. And if you guys haven't already guessed, our guest today is none other than the wonderful Professor Misty. Professor, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. And thank you for that generous, generous introduction. Although I'm not going to take credit for your creativity. You brought that with you to the university.
It is such a pleasure to have you here, Professor. And for our listeners who are not familiar with Professor Misty, let me tell you a bit more about her. Long before she was introduced to the term creativity, she grew up in a family who used their hands and hearts and minds to make things. Whether these activities included growing vegetables and grains, baking angel food cakes, writing and performing spiritual songs, building addition to homes, photographing sunsets, or penning homesick letters and rhyming poems, everyone in their family of nine made something. And the things they made in response to an inner creative impulse gave meaning and purpose to their lives, and sometimes even provided a way to earn a living. While the creativity required in brainstorming ideas and writing down her thoughts has generally come as naturally to Professor Misty as breathing, it wasn't until grad school, when members of her cohort repeatedly labeled her as very creative, that she began claiming this as a part of her identity.
It's very amazing how these like experiences laid the foundation for your creative journey. Okay, so now let's move on to your academic activities. When did you first become aware of your own creativity in an academic context?
Can we go back to primary school? Does that
count?
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. So just, you know, my father appreciated poetry. He didn't write any poetry, but he would recite it and memorize it. And I would write a little bit and share it with the family. And I got, you know, lots of kudos for that. So I kept doing that. But he kind of taught me that by the way he recited poems, listening for that rhythmic quality in lines. And so whenever I felt like I had the freedom, sometimes teachers wouldn't say, sometimes they would when you're young, write a poem. So I was like, oh, that's great. I can always do that. But then as I got older, and you get assignments, I would kind of expand the assignment to include something creative. Instead of asking for permission, it's like I didn't care about the grade even back then, because mm-hmm. I knew I was making something and I was proud of it. And it didn't matter if the teacher liked it, because guess what? My mom and dad would.
That, like, absolutely. I completely understand where you're coming from. Now, it's clear that your background is rich with experiences that have shaped your perspective on creativity and academic writing. So let's delve deeper into the topic at hand. In your opinion, what role does creativity play in academic writing, and how can students effectively integrate creative elements into their scholarly work?
Okay, well, that's a million-dollar question there. Okay. I think we already do that with brainstorming. And just the way we make connections when our brain hops from thing to thing, and then it's almost like threads and we're going to weave it together. So I think we already do it, but we don't call it creativity. We call it research,
right,
or we call it remembering, or mm-hmm. something like that. But I'm advocating for something even more. And that is, okay, we have this research and these texts we've read, but there's your own lived experience. also. And especially, and I don't want to be the first to bring up the age of AI, right? But especially in the age of AI, we're saying, you know what? AI could do that. AI could do that. AI could do that. But you know what AI can't do? Connect it to your lived experience.
Yeah. Right.
Yet.
Yet.
And so I really like this. I'm really happy because I'm not on the island of misfit toys by myself anymore, because we're customizing assignments to make them AI, not AI proof, but something that AI can't do. And so I think that there is more of a room for the personal. And that just is what is interesting to me. It's not just the ideas, but it's how the ideas are new to you and how you're connecting them. That's creative. You're creating those connections. That's alive. That's vital. There's an energy there, right? And, you know, if you plug a prompt into AI and it comes out, you might get an A on that paper or B or whatever, right? But it's not going to make that memorable, lasting difference in your life. You're not going to be proud of it. You're not going to go, oh, remember that paper I got an A on, and I put this prompt. Oh, did such a good job at engineering this prompt. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
So if we're going for meaning and meaning making, maybe making things helps us make meaning.
Right.
For sure. I totally agree with you. And how do you approach teaching creative writing in academic settings, like especially considering the need for students to adhere to certain academic conventions and standards?
Yeah, that's, you know, I'm to be perfectly honest, I struggle with that a little bit, right? Because I want to also, as a first year writing teacher, I want you to succeed in your other courses at Georgetown. And every course and professor and assignment has a different rhetorical situation or context that you've got to figure out. So you might go, well, can I use I in my paper? And you'll go, well, ask your professor. Who's the audience you're writing for? But if you look in my discipline, people have been using I in composition, but also in history and in feminist studies, people have been using I for a while, owning their positionality and then trying to account for their biases rather than feigning objectivity.
Right.
So your own lived experiences get to be included in that, because that is the lens with which you are filtering all your world, but all the research that's going through. So I feel like I didn't really answer that. So I don't know if it's answerable. So like I'm of two minds then, right? Or two, I'm serving two masters. Let me put it that way. I want you to succeed. So I want you to understand the genre expectations. But I also think that that writing is so much richer when you get to bring I into the paper. And so I like to push against what's expected in some of these genres, because somebody was the first person to use I in the field of composition or history or feminism, right?
Right.
So maybe you're the first to use it in theology or whatever, right? So I think those fields, wow, that's a really controversial thing. I don't want to go on record saying those fields need to change. But in critical studies, so critical pedagogy, critical anthropology, critical ethnography, we try to own our own positionality.
Right. So what are common misconceptions about creativity in academic writing, and how do you address or dispel them in your teaching?
Okay. Well, I'm thinking about students instead of teachers. So you might have to ask this question again. But let me answer it a little bit about students, because I have students, particularly when in my previous job down the street, working with engineering students who would say, I'm not creative. And I'm like, because I think we're all creative. And so where did we learn? Who put that label on you that you're not creative? And I think also if we give students models and here, march like this, write like this, or templates, just fill in the blanks, that we're doing them a disservice, because we're just teaching obeisance rather than creativity. And maybe that works a lot for engineers, but not the innovative ones, right? You can't have innovation without creativity,
right? Yeah,
right?
For sure.
So I feel like, and at Georgetown too, I've got to help students waken up to that part of them that is creative. And here's the other thing. You can't be creative without taking a risk. Risk of, oh, is this working? Risk of being made fun of. So if we scaffold those, so like my very first assignment, which is like, write a memo to me about your relationship with writing and try to use similes or metaphors. Mm-hmm. Those are creative, right? At first we might use cliches. There's a cliche that in the introduction, it's as natural to me as breathing. That's a cliche. Mm-hmm. We're not going to remember that, mm-hmm. but it's as natural to me as, falling through the river, of ice, right?
Right.
So what does that mean?
Right.
So I didn't really answer that, right? So, and you want to ask it again, and I'll think about it from the point of view of teachers? Because I said that I think we have to coach students. Students don't buy it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
Students don't buy it. And if teachers don't buy it, what are we left with? Can we take the risk? Are we rewarded for that risk?
Right.
Actually, I'm going to say one more thing. And probably you both remember this. I have students make an XY graph. Mm-hmm. Of the creativity yeah. you've done in your life. Let's have that be on the X plane, okay? Think of the risks you've taken and the projects you've done in high school or first year of uni, how creative they were. And then the Y-axis is GPA or the grades you got for that. Mm-hmm. Were you rewarded mm-hmm. for taking the risk of making a project really creative? And if you were... you know, the opposite of rewarded, if you were, you know, smacked for that, then you're going to be less likely to take risks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can say to my students, I reward risk-taking. I reward creativity. Those are just words mm-hmm. if it's not backed up, mm-hmm. right?
I mean, I remember when I was in your writing class, I was kind of reluctant. You always told me, like, to embrace the creativity in my writing, even academic settings. And I wasn't so sure about it. I wasn't really convinced in the beginning because, again, I faced criticisms like you're not being academic. Mm-hmm. So, like, I do definitely like understand where this comes from. It's been applied in my journey yeah. here at Georgetown.
Yeah. Well, let me say one other thing, and that is, people who are successful in their fields, academics, once they made their name, then they're allowed to break the rules.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they can do different things with the rules, when I'm talking about rules of genre expectations. But I'm like, you know, because I'm always trying to get rid of the hierarchy. Well, let's break them. You know, mm-hmm. we don't teach everyone to write like soldiers. And then after 10 years of this, okay, now how come you can't be creative?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Hasn't been encouraged, hasn't been rewarded. I don't even know that I am creative anymore.
Right.
Also, on the other hand, are there any potential drawbacks or challenges associated with incorporating creative elements into academic writing? And how can students who are listening to this navigate these challenges?
Yeah, I think it goes back to analyzing mm-hmm. rhetorical situation, yeah. right? And of course there are. So it's like, who's my audience? What's my purpose? If you remember in art class, you know, what's the genre? What are the expectations? What am I trying to? Am I appealing to logos, pathos, ethos? Mm-hmm. What am I trying to accomplish? But yeah, it could absolutely backfire. Like you could even use too much appealing to someone's emotions, and then your audience might feel manipulated, and you've lost credibility, and they're not going to listen to any argument you make, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I feel like there's lots of. That's why I also think that we have to have chances and write in drafts. So what I was going to say is, remember in your class that I would go, this works. This mm-hmm. is working. And that was mm-hmm. my highest compliment. And that this piece works. That means your understanding and your approach to audience purpose, mm-hmm. like you've got it all lined up, you know, like the planets or something. You've got it all lined up and it's working.
Mm-hmm.
And it's rare. It's rare for something. For a piece of an assignment in the academy, for a piece of writing to really be working, because often we're just writing for the teacher's approval or, you know, the grade or
yeah.
the pat on the back or whatever. yeah.
So now on a more positive note, can you share any memorable experiences or success stories from your teaching career where you've seen students effectively utilize creative writing techniques in their academic work?
It could be about us.
Yes. Okay.
I'm kidding. No pressure.
I think one of the things that happens when students, when students do bring themselves into the writing, and then they see how excited I get, right? Then they're encouraged to do that more, and then it becomes, it raises their confidence. But my hope is that then they start to share it with other people, mm-hmm. and people are like, "Oh yeah, that's powerful. That has an impact." Because that's what we all want. We want power in our writing. We want our writing to achieve whatever goals we want. So we want all the tools, all the colors of the rainbow available right. to us, right? And creativity is that. Sometimes I will talk about my own examples, like when I wrote a literacy narrative and I began with a poem. Nobody said you can begin with a poem, but that felt authentic to me in the moment because of what I was going through. I was bringing my lived experience into the mm-hmm. assignment because we still have lives mm-hmm. and our lives go on, and we've got family members who might be in the hospital or whatever, and we're told like, no, we got to separate that. Mm. Right? But that's where my consciousness is. How am I supposed to separate that out? You want me to separate that? How about if I bring that in? Because the poem becomes about, or that whole piece becomes about my mother who taught me how to read mm-hmm. and write.
Right.
So there is a connection. All right.
Yeah, absolutely agreed. And I think, you know, our time for this podcast has elapsed. That's all the questions we have for today. Thank you so much for sharing your invaluable insights with us. But before we sign off, do you have any thoughts or words of wisdom for our listeners who are especially struggling to find their voice in academic writing?
Well, my first inclination was to like find a teacher who will, and not just me, okay, find a teacher who values this and will invite that into the classroom, right? So there's that. So that's one thing. Find a way to fuse it and support for fusing it. And the other thing is like, okay, maybe you've got to be, you know, bifurcated, where you have to write like a soldier to succeed in a mm-hmm. class, but then you can write your song lyrics or your poetry or your fiction and share it with whoever you want to share with, mm-hmm. You know. That's the opposite of answering your question. Like, how do you fuse it? You can't always,
right?
Yeah, you've got to. Who has the power to grade you? Who has the power to help you get to your next step? They may not want that, but you can try. Especially if you get more than one draft,
mm-hmm. right? Definitely.
So you can surprise them with your creativity in the first draft.
Yeah.
I think honestly, a big part of it is also risk. I mean, you just have to do it. I remember I had this one assignment from a very strict professor, and I was like, you know what? I don't care. It was the same semester where I had your writing class, and I was just motivated. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. And I used a lot of imagery in a very political academic paper. I used a lot of imagery, I almost narrated some things like a story, yeah. and it still worked. So take the risk, I guess.
Yes.
Also, another thing about creative writing coming from students who took a creative writing class, I felt like it was something that was fresh to us. It's nice to have a fresh class. Like personally, for me, when I was taking your class, I would always go to these like strict professors with strict essays that were about research, and then going to your class felt like weight off my shoulder. Like right. I can finally just write whatever I want, be creative, no judgment, and I'll still get a good mark. So
yeah, well, remember in art mm-hmm. class that I believe that you learn to write by revising. So you've mm-hmm. got to come up with this thing. And then it's like a clay vase, right? Mm-hmm. You might have to get back to the pottery wheel and whatever they do in there. Rethrow, that's it. Mm-hmm. Rethrow the vase. But so then you're revising because you have many, the pressure is off you because you have many chance to go, what do yes. I want this to be? And whom do I want to persuade? And how do I want them to feel when they're finished reading this? Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you so much once again, Professor Misty, for joining us and shedding light on this very important topic. And to our listeners, thank you for listening. We hope you found this discussion as informative as we did.
Be sure to stay tuned for more conversations on GEQ Speaks Podcast Club. And until next time, take care and keep writing.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of GAQ Speaks. We hope you've gained valuable insights and inspirations from our conversation today. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to follow us on our Instagram page at GAQ_speaks, and be sure to leave a review on Spotify to show your support.